Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield and I am so glad that you're with me here on this Friday. Again, as I've said all week, excuse my raspy voice. I've just had a little bit of voice strain, but I did not want to miss my time with you. We are in a lovely series by Derek Prince on endurance, and I got to tell you, it really has been one of the better ones, I think, by Derek Prince, because it's so relevant to our age. It's so relevant to a period of time in which people tend to fall and fail. Have you ever had this experience? Have you ever looked at somebody who has achieved something wonderful and then heard their story? They were sick, they almost died, they had a bunch of divorces, they had business failures, whatever it was, moral failures, and now here, years later, they're achieving something magnificent. What was different about their life as opposed to everyone else who maybe endured those same trials and didn't make it? It was endurance. And that's what really defines, so to speak, the men from the boys, the mature from the immature. Let's listen now as Derek continues in a list of steps to achieving endurance.
In previous talks this week, we've seen that endurance is an essential element of a strong, successful Christian character, and that unless we cultivate endurance, we can never expect to be truly successful as Christians. Yesterday, I shared with you two important steps to achieving endurance. The first, make a firm, unreserved commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I gave you the example of the actress who was torn between the claims of Christ and the world. And as she knelt and prayed, she uttered this simple prayer to the Lord, "Help me to say an unconditional yes to you." That's what I'm talking about, saying an unconditional yes to the Lord. The second step that I dealt with yesterday was keep your eyes on the unseen. We looked at the example of Moses. He endured as seeing him who is unseen. And Paul talks about looking in the mirror of the Word of God and seeing the unseen world, seeing the glory, and being transformed into the likeness of what we see. And then he warns us that affliction will only continue to work in us this blessed result as long as we keep our eyes on the unseen. And he ends with this phrase, "The unseen things are eternal, the seen things are temporal or temporary or transient or impermanent." And we're dealing with the eternal and the permanent. Today I'm going to share with you two more important steps to this goal of endurance. They follow on naturally from the first two. So step number three is this: don't give up even if you fall. You say, "I don't want to fall." Well, that's good. I don't want to fall either. But I tell you that most Christians do fall one way or another sometime in the course of their Christian life. There are those that have made it without ever falling. I can't really say I'm one of them. But I can tell you this, when I did fall, I did not give up. I knew there was nothing to go back to, for one thing. So face the possibility you may have some kind of a fall, but make up your mind, even if you fall, you're not going to give up. Actually, it's really a kind of pride that would cause us to give up if we fall. We can be so disgusted with ourselves, we say, "Well, I can't make it, I'm not good enough, so I'm not going on." In other words, we've really been looking to our own goodness rather than to the Lord's grace. There's quite a number of scriptures about not giving up when you fall. Let me give you just one or two of them. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. "The Lord delights in the way of the man whose steps he has made firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." There's a kind of distinction there between stumbling and falling. And if you're a man whose steps the Lord has made firm, you may stumble, and if you were left to yourself, you would fall. But the Lord is holding onto your hand. So as you're just about to fall, that strong hand of the Lord lifts you up and sets you on your feet again. Now, this is speaking about a man in whose way the Lord delights. So it's not to be a failure. It's not to be a backslider. It's not deserving of contempt if we stumble. But God has made provision. He says, if you stumble, you won't fall. I'll hold you up. Don't rely on yourself. Rely on the Lord. And then there's another verse, somewhat similar, which goes a little further, in Proverbs 24, verse 16. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. Well, that's a remarkable statement, because it's talking about a righteous man. It says, even a righteous man may fall seven times. I haven't counted the number of times I've fallen, but I could believe it could be seven. Seven is a kind of special number in Scripture. It's a very special number for me. I can't go into that right now. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. See, there's the difference. The righteous man has got something in him that says, go on, don't give up. Get up, dust yourself off, and start off again. But when the wicked is struck by calamity, that's the end. He's just brought down. He doesn't rise again. So the difference is not so much between whether you fall or whether you don't fall. The difference is, how do you react when you fall? The wicked is just struck down. He makes no attempt to get up. That's the end. But the righteous man, even if he falls seven times, rises again. He's got something in him that won't be held down. That's a commitment to the Lord. There are times when we just have to hold on in blind faith. There's nothing in our circumstances or situation or even in ourselves to offer us any visible encouragement. But we just don't give up. I am continually reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter on the night before he went to his crucifixion. He said this in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. You is plural there. It's all the disciples. And then he goes on, singular. He speaks to Simon Peter. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers.
I love Proverbs 24:16, and we should make it our keynote scripture. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity. I'll tell you that some of the people, some of the famous Christians who have fallen in our generation, they're going to rise again, and the world is going to take note that a righteous man does indeed rise over and over and over in the face of what causes others to fall. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, delighted to have you with me. We're at the final day here of a wonderful series on endurance that Derek Prince has been teaching us. And today he's going to talk to us in a continuing list of steps of endurance about not giving up even though we fall. I sometimes have Christians tell me that they have a tendency to fall and they don't think they can be good enough to be Christians. You know what? It's not true, and we're about to learn why.
I am continually reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter on the night before he went to his crucifixion. He said this in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. You is plural there. It's all the disciples. And then he goes on, singular. He speaks to Simon Peter. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Now, Jesus had just told Peter that Peter would deny him three times that night. And then Jesus said, Peter, I've prayed for you, not that you won't deny me, but that your faith won't fail. Would you have prayed that prayer? See, Jesus is a realist. There are times when he sees we're headed for a fall. He may not pray, Father, don't let him fall. He may pray, Father, don't let his faith fail. See what I'm saying? Even if you fall, don't give up. Even if you can see no visible reason for holding on or going on, just go on believing. Don't give up. Hold on to your faith. The Bible says it's much more precious than gold. Don't give up. Well, let's go on to step four in achieving endurance. Step four, I entitle this, Remember the Prize Giving. Some people don't like the thought that there's a reward for serving God. But the Bible makes it very, very clear. Probably Jesus himself spoke more about the rewards of serving God than anybody else. There is a reward, and the Bible encourages us, exhorts us to remember the reward and not to lose it. In speaking to one of the churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, don't lose what you've got. Hold on to it. Don't let somebody else take your prize. So there is a sense in which it's legitimate and scriptural to strive for a prize. Paul spoke in Philippians about striving for a prize. He spoke about athletes who strive for a perishable crown, and then he spoke about striving for an imperishable crown. And I want to take one example from the life of Paul, right at the end of his life when he was in prison. And in many senses, he could have been regarded as a failure. He was elderly. He was a little infirm. One of his best friends had deserted him. The world would have written him off. And there he was, awaiting execution. And this is what he says, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Those are beautiful words. They thrill me. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want to tell you this. If you're going to keep the faith, you've got to fight the good fight, and you've got to finish the race. Christianity is a fight. And Christianity is a race, and you've got to be prepared to fight, not fight men, but fight the unseen forces of evil and sin and worldliness. If you're going to keep the faith, you've got to fight the fight and finish the race. And then Paul says, now I'm looking for the crown. It's a beautiful contrast there. In the natural, in the human realm, he was awaiting trial and execution by a very evil, corrupt, unjust human judge, Nero, the emperor of Rome at that time. But he looked beyond that earthly court scene and that earthly trial, and he knew that one day he was going to stand before another judge, a divine judge, an absolutely just judge, and that on that day, that absolutely just judge would give him the reward which was his due, the crown of righteousness. And he says, not only is this reward due me, but it's due to all who've loved his appearing. So let me end with these words. Remember the prize giving. There's a day ahead. If you've been faithful, If you've fought the good fight, finished your course, then there's a crown laid up for you, for everyone who meets the conditions. It's not wrong to desire that crown. The Bible encourages us. Remember, don't lose your crown. Hold on.
You know, there's a tendency among Christians to believe that they should simply endure the hard things they endure for their own sake. But you know what? Time and again, the Bible tells us that we should anticipate the victor's crown, that we should anticipate the prize, that we should anticipate the wonderful things that are coming to us as we endure and as we arise to the destinies to which we're called. Keep in mind, keep in the center of your heart the fact that there is a prize that Jesus is holding for you. More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you with us today. Joining us again from Singapore, as he did earlier this week, is Ross Patterson. Ross has had a major role to play in the hands of God in taking Derek Prince's teaching into China. Ross, it's great to have you back with us.
It's good to be back again, Stephen.
Now, I'm just fascinated with how Derek Prince's teaching, because this is what we were talking about earlier this week, is how Derek's teaching is going all over China. You've taken millions of books into the country. And the people who are listening to Derek over there on radio really aren't even listening to Derek in a sense. They're listening to another man sort of do his radio broadcasts, and it's having a profound impact. What I'm intrigued by is, how is Derek's method of teaching, how does it appeal to the Chinese mind? In other words, what is it about Derek uniquely, and I don't mean his personality, but his line-upon-line approach to teaching, how does that appeal to the Chinese mentality as you understand? Standard, Ross.
As I see it, Stephen, God gave a very particular gift to Derek Prince, which was to take what we didn't know and explain it to us. And when he'd explained it, we felt, hey, that's simple. I know that. But then you realize you didn't know it before you heard it from him. And I think where a heart is hungry, and Chinese believers, by and large, are hungry for the Word of God, that is a perfect match. A hungry heart and the capacity to take the truths of Scripture in such a way as to make it clear and to make it identifiable and owned by the hearer. That's, to me, is the secret.
And Ross, are the Chinese readers, are they intensely literary in their approach to life in general and religion in specific?
Not necessarily at all. There is actually, bearing in mind we work in churches that are in the countryside of China, they may be largely illiterate. So apart from the books, for the majority of very literate people, we also do DVDs, audio CDs, and so on. We had a situation recently where with the DVDs and the VCDs and the CDs that we're doing of Derek's material, believers actually receive those and are able to use them where they might not be able to receive the books. So we want to use every possible means that we can to reach out. Let me tell you a little story, Stephen. Two of our team were working with a guy in a major city, and his heart, he was printing for us, his heart was to reach right into the countryside. And a few weeks after he'd distributed books, he got a phone call from a group in tears who said, "We have never, ever received teaching materials before. And even if we had, we couldn't have paid for them. And we'd really want to thank you." And they said we could do nothing to pay or to thank except this. We're going to do some embroidery for you just to say thanks.
That's wonderful.
Those are the kind of people we love to reach.
Now, Ross, we've been focusing on Derek's teaching, but I want to focus on you for just a few moments. I mean, you have really sown your life, your blood, your sweat, your tears into the Far East and specifically into China. As you may know, we're interviewing you during a series here of Derek's on endurance. Could you give us some sense, especially for those who live in the West and may not really understand a lifestyle like yours, of the kind of endurance it has taken to bear the kind of fruit that we're talking about today?
I think it starts, Stephen, when God speaks to you, when God commissions. I read recently and was, my mind was blown, really. Paul talking about Onesimus, about Silvanus, talking about Timothy, talking about Tychicus, uses exactly the same adjectives of all of them. He said they are beloved and faithful. And something in God's grace into my life said, "Son, if I call you to do this, the one thing I require of you is faithfulness. If I give you a task, you need to finish it." And there have been times when I felt things have happened, people maybe haven't shown up when they needed to, it's got really tough and overwhelming, and you felt it would be good to walk. And then you realize, one day I'm going to face Jesus, and he asked me to do something for him, so I need to finish it. I think that's at the heart of it, and it's also at the heart of the Chinese church. Many years ago, a brother walked up to me on the street, Orchard Road in Singapore. He said, "Ross, I've been praying for you, and God has told me this. If you serve the church in China, you need to drink from their cup." And that's a cup of suffering and pressure. And that, though it wasn't good news at the time, has in many ways helped me, Stephen.
You know, that's not a very popular doctrine in the West, Ross, the idea that we have to suffer with the people to reach them. So explain that a little bit more fully for those who might see this as some extreme Eastern sort of slant to Christianity.
Stephen, when the Apostle Paul was called in Acts 9, essentially Jesus said three things to him. "Who are you? I am Jesus." Then Jesus said, "What? Go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." And most of us would align with that. It's the who of the relationship with Jesus and the what of the calling. But he also said something else. He said, "Tell him, Paul, how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Biblically, if you follow the model of Jesus and of Paul and the other amazing people in the New Testament, you cannot leave out the third. You cannot ask God to use you effectively without the willingness to pay a price for it. That's the way the master trod. That's the way we have to tread.
Well, Ross, that's a powerful word, and you are a powerful example of it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Tell people who are listening now all over the world how they can find out more about what's happening with you, with your work there in China and in the Far East.
The Derek Prince Ministries website will guide to that. We send out regular material. If folk, wherever they're listening, sign up with their local Derek Prince Ministries base, materials come out on a regular basis about China. General materials, and we even put out every 3 months or so a particular China prayer letter that outlines what we're doing in Derek Prince Ministries. So whether on the web or through materials received or email or whatever, there are a variety of ways. The key is really sign up with your local base.
Ross, it's been great having you with us, buddy. I sure appreciate what you're doing. May the Lord bless you, and thanks for giving us some feedback and some reporting from what's going on in the field.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
And listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, Rules of Engagement. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $12.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771.
or order your copy of Rules of Engagement when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.